Hold on just a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Yes, 1 and 2. Now remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. I want you to remember, this is to the church of Corinth. So we know that right there's a lot of correction that needs to happen. There's a lot of things. I mean, a lot of people could go so they could see something and the power of what somebody can do and how they do this and that. And Paul said, I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. But I had decided before I ever got there, this is what I want, and this is what God's will wants. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because if we're going to preach Paul's doctrine, that is what they should be hearing. I died with him. I was buried with him. I have a new life. We should be praising the Lord. And if you look, he says, I was with you in weakness. I was with you in fear, in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of a man's wisdom. In other words, I could get up and just do it in a man's wisdom. But what about heart? What about the heart? Has this been made real in our heart, or is this just a heap of words? And he goes, but when I spoke, Paul said, when I spoke, I did it in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why did God have me do that? He said, I did it that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but it should stand in the power of God. And that's why I loved a lot of the things that were said yesterday. It was all God's inspired word talking to us. And it was teaching us how to appreciate chastening, how to appreciate trials, how to appreciate what? Christ in you crucified. And he says in the word, and you don't have to go to these, but he said, laying aside every weight, every sin that does so easily beset you from running this race. And he said, you have so great a cloud of witnesses, but you need to lay aside every weight. And every weight, you're going to see in a minute, just one little thing. Think of the things. We talked about it there. There are things that, Lord, I really don't want you to talk about this. I don't want you to talk about that. Why? Because it's convicting. And that is exactly by Spirit, power, and demonstration. We need to have those kinds of messages brought forth. It's not what shall I say to the people. It should all fall in line. It should all gather together in one message centered around what? Christ in every one of us crucified. We should be seen as Christ sees us now, as God sees us now. He does not want to sit here and judge you after your flesh. And he says that I may know him. And I saw this yesterday just in my own message that he gave me, that I want to know him. But I can't just know him as the head of the body. God does begin to show us. He is the first fruit. He's the first fruit. And God is the partaker of that first. But we were loved so much that we get to be partakers in this grace message. I want to know him. Well, if I really want to know him, I want to know him that's in you. What part of him are you sharing with me? What part of him are you sharing with the body? We can share lots of things, but it's got to be from the heart. And you'll know, because it doesn't matter if it's a word. I remember a sister said, I didn't get to speak to you at the fellowship. And I said, that's okay. I said, you know, there's a lot of people there. But she came up and I said, you know what you did do? I said, you gave me a little kiss right on the side of my cheek. That fulfilled it. It was God knew what I needed. God let her do whatever. But it was Christ in her came up, gave me a sweet kiss on the cheek. I know one of the sisters here one time brought me a bouquet of flowers. Big bouquet. I still have that picture. And I thought that God loved me enough, and we had that, so loved. Not only in spiritual things, those are spiritual blessings, but when that treasure box is open, that love that's been given to you, you'll begin to do things that you never did before, and it will just, it makes you feel edified. It makes you feel lifted while it's edifying part of the body. But I want to know him. I want to know him as head. I want to know him as the one who came up in resurrection, that I worship in spirit and in truth. But I want to know his body. I want to know his body, the ones he said, I loved you enough to die. And I took you down in death so you could come up in life in one man. Well, what about then when I know him? I want to know him. I want to know him in that resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. When I look at Philippians, we can go there real quick. In Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verse 7. You know, Paul had a lot of things he could have gloried in, but he counted it what? Anything that was gained to him, I count it but loss. And he said, verse 7, but here's going to come a change. Every time I see but, I go, but God has another purpose. You know, he could have continued on. He could have been that little Pharisee and used all those things and had confidence in his flesh in the first part of that chapter. But he came down and he said, but what things were, they were gained to Paul. What things were gained to me, those things I counted loss. I counted loss for Christ. But when he said in his heart, I count it but loss. I have to count and I have to see it as God sees it. I count it but loss. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now watch, he already counted it but loss. But now what happens? For whom I suffered. There's suffering that goes along. I suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them as but dung that I may win Christ. And I love that. We talk about, I want to win. We want to win the race. We said, press toward the mark. Press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling that you'll win, that you will obtain. That means you're going to win something. What is it? Christ is the prize. He's our bridegroom. It's as we go, just keep pressing toward. And I love this because, you know, when you have to lay aside every weight and sin, we heard some very precious testimonies yesterday. And God knew it was time. It's time. God is never late. It was time. There was one talking about forgiveness. And I've always been taught you need to forgive. They may never ask you to forgive them. They may never do that. So if you don't forgive them, every time anything begins to happen, you're going to keep carrying everything, all that hurt. You're going to put it on your shoulders. It's a weight. It's a sin. Why? Because it's unbelief. On the way home, I was really, really meditating, and I knew that God spoke this to my heart. And he said, if you're going to press toward the mark of the high calling, you're going to have to forget the things that are behind. But he made it so clear. We look at that and go, the things that are behind, yesterday, the good things, the bad things. He showed me in such a different way. Forgetting about the things that are behind. The things that are behind is I am dead. I died with Christ. I've arisen with Christ. I have now what? Seated in heavenly places. And we want to know him, his body. You can forgive. You just say, forget it. Anything that's done in Christ is going to bring gain unto him and glory to Christ. Those things that hurt us or the persecutions, forget the things that are behind. These things are dead. They have no power against the living, against Christ. It may hurt, but we have to say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. One word, forgiveness, is so full. Forgive them that have offended you. And start seeing them as God sees them. God sees them as a work in process. God sees mine, a work in process. When you're gathered with a bunch of women, and I'll be honest, I've never enjoyed to do that. I just haven't. But as I have grown, it's becoming greater and greater because you're not going there and have to put up with flesh or whatever. It's always going to be there. It's not going to go away. But I have to forget the things that are behind and press toward the mark. Jesus still had those around him that still persecuted him, that didn't see him for who he was, but he did not hold that against them. He prayed for them. Father, I came to do your will. He prayed for us that God bless us. Bless us. Have you ever prayed for your brother or your sister in Christ? Bless them, Lord. Bring them into the oneness that we had one with another. Bring them into the place that they can say, I died with him. Thank the Lord. That's why Paul said, I don't want to know anything about you except for Christ crucified among you. I want to come into a meeting and it's Christ has died for all of us. No big shots. I mean, I love that. Brother Bill used to tell me that. No big shots in the family of God. If we're going to glory, we're going to glory in the Lord. It's all for his glory. And he says, you know, if someone like a testimony touched my heart, he got glory out of that. I was thankful. I went and I said, thank you. Thank you to the person, but it was thank you, Lord. I told him first. Only you knew how to take this heavy burden and take it off me and lay my burden down and have every weight, every sin, every unbelief that I can run. Yes, will there be an obstacle hit me again? Yes, but the same grace, maybe not in the same way, but I may have to just say it when you don't feel like it. Those things are behind. That's why, you see, Jesus was pressing toward. He was going toward his Father's will. When Peter came up and told him, you know, you don't have to go through this. You ever had someone tell you that? Get thee behind me, Satan. Yes, I do. I have to go through this. I just couldn't, you know, sometimes we can't understand because we take one circumstance, we measure it with another. Well, why do I have the grace for this, but I didn't have the grace for that? I said, Lord, I need your grace. I need your grace to do this. I don't want to say I do and it's all fake. I just don't. I want to be a true jewel for Jesus. And all that he's done, it was worth it. I'm accepted in him. And he wants me to begin in each one of us to start taking our place in the beloved, in the secret inner chambers. He'll whisper what he is to you personally. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to show these deep truths of love, the heart of love that he had for you. I mean, I saw even where Paul said, I became as a lot of them were, whether they were a Jew, whatever. And God has made that real to me. I become as they are. I become because if we can't come low, we cannot reach. He reached all the way down, and he will bring that in our lives. He'll bring that in our lives. But it's not that we're working. He'll say, can you forgive? Lord, I already forgave him about 20 times. How many times do I have to keep being the one to forgive? 70 times 7. He already knew it was going to take much forgiveness. When you see in Ephesians where he has given us redemption, he's given us the forgiveness of sin, are you living in that truth? Otherwise, if I don't, here we go. We're going to go over to Colossians chapter 3. If you be risen with Christ and you seek those things which are above, I'm seeking his forgiveness. You see, if I'm still here and I can't forgive, I'm still trying to walk in the things that are behind that have already been taken care of. It's already done. It is finished. I want to know more of that grace. The things that are behind, the things that press us. Run the race that you can win, but you have to do it as Song of Solomon, where he's talking about her. She's the choice one. She is the choice one. She is undefiled. You know why she is what she is? Because he showed her himself. She wasn't that in herself. She was saying bad things about herself. And he said, thou art fair, my love. Thou art fair. He didn't come in and say, you're going to be the bride and you're going to this. I mean, he took it step by step. Thou art fair, my love. She goes, oh, no, thou art fair. Yeah, well, that's what he means then. That's how he sees in you. Do you believe that? Count it truth. Count it. There's only one thing I could find that said I count not. You know, we have to reckon with God, but I count not myself to apprehend. I count not that I have obtained. No one has come to the end of the race. We keep running. You ever seen someone on the sideline when you were racing or when you did something? It was like they were cheering you on. They weren't throwing out something to make you fall down and get all sad and feel bad about yourself. And even if they did, that's okay. Count the things that are not as though they already were, forgetting the things that are behind. I'm pressing toward. I want to see Jesus. And I want to see Christ in him, in you alone. That's what we should want. That's my desire. I want to see Christ in them. I want to see them grow up. I want to see them begin to have the boldness that we should have. That they become prayer warriors one for another. That they put on the whole armor of God. And if we don't know these truths, how can we be ready? It's going to be, we have to have our feet shod with the preparation of peace. He said, if you are risen with Christ, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection, your heart, your mind on things above. That's our future, man. That's our present. He's done everything, the past, the present, the future. He made it possible for me to sit there. And when you're sitting in high places, you truly can see. You can see the ones who haven't come on up, rise up above these things. But you should be praying that they do rise up. Rise up, my love, and come away. Set your affection on the things above and not on the things of earth. For you're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, Christ is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. In glory. Change from glory, to that fullness of glory. And go over to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2 first. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and for the evidence of things not seen. We believe, for that is how the elders obtained a good report. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises as of yet, but they saw them afar off. They knew they had been promised, just like we're promised, and they were persuaded of those promises. Remember the song, I Know Whom I've Believed? I have to be persuaded. I can't persuade somebody else, but the Word of God can. Persuade them, they embrace them, they confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Now, truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. I thought of Lot's wife, how God, because of a man of faith, Abraham, he goes in, he makes sure, he's prayed for Lot. They go in, he's rescued, he's taken out. And the wife gets to come out too, the children. What happens? Don't look back. Don't look back. Forget about it. That's behind. Don't look back. Press toward. She turned back to look, and she turned into a pillar of salt. All it was one simple little thing. Don't look back. When you know you've truly been delivered, why go back to leeks and garlics? All that yuck. It stinks. It's impure. Why do I want to go back to that? 17. By faith, it was Abraham. He was tried. Are you ever tried? Yes. He offered up Isaac. This thing that we get so caught up in, the trial, and said, think it not strange, this trial that you're going through. You need it. But when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. What are we offering up? The sin offering, all the things of who he is. He is the peace. He is that offering. He's the burnt offering. He's everything that I could never be, but now it is your reasonable service, because he made a way when there seemed to be no way. Of whom it was said that in Isaac, you're in that seed, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Moses, let's go, verse 23, by faith Moses. Now just think of this, moms and dads, or even aunts and uncles, when you see a little baby. Moses, when he was born, was hid for 3 months of his parents. Why? Because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Proverbs 31, that lady was not afraid of the winter and the storms that were going to come. Oh no, she rose up early. She got up in the night. She was preparing meat for them. Just like Paul. Paul gave them meat when they were on that Acts 27 ship. When they were on that ship, Paul rose up and he gave them meat to eat. That was when all hope was lost. No stars, no moon, nothing shining, darkness, all hope lost. But God had already told Paul, you're going to Rome. He reminded him, he's going to Rome. But he gave out meat to them and their strength. That was their strength in the time they needed it. They weren't afraid of the king's commandment. We don't have to be afraid of what's going on in society. I mean, you hear it all the time. They're going to take your pensions. They're going to take this. But you know one thing they can't take? The joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. The peace that I have, it's anything that's in Christ. They can't take it. They didn't give it, so they certainly cannot take it. But this world isn't our home. We're just passing through. By faith, Moses, when he came to years, he refused. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had a choice. Choosing rather to what? To suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It's only for a little while. You know, we had it in the women's retreat. Why do you spend your money for things that do not satisfy? Why are you doing this and this, and it doesn't even satisfy? You want more and more and more and more. That's what the flesh does. But I guarantee you, when you taste and see the Lord is good, you want more. More of Him, more of Jesus. Esteeming. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. Greater. These are greater riches than the treasures of the world. Treasures that are in Egypt. And he had respect unto the recompense of reward. You see, he knew Jesus is coming. We will receive our reward in due time. Hold that fast that you have, and you have it. Let no man take your crown. Let no man take that truth from your heart. You have to stand in it. You have to believe God, and you are his crowning work. You are his crowning work. Don't let anybody take that crown away from you. You say, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Let's all stand.